If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Tonight, the great Memorial Day comeback. Americans head out in record numbers to celebrate the first maskless holiday since the pandemic began. With vaccinations up and new infections down, 37 million people nationwide get out of town, crowding beaches and movie theaters and filling airports and highways, all for the chance to reunite with family and friends. Remembering the fallen, on this Memorial Day, the country honors those who died defending it with parades and ceremonies and solemn moments of silence.
Duty, honor, country. They lived for it. They died for it.
Mass shooting, manhunt. The search intensifies for three masked gunmen who opened fire overnight at an event in Miami, killing two and wounding more than 20, all in a matter of seconds. What we're learning tonight. New variant found. Scientists say they've discovered a new and potentially more contagious strain of the coronavirus overseas. Just as parents here in the U.S. try to make sense of new guidelines for keeping kids safe at summer camps. Lawmakers' last stand. Texas Democrats stage an overnight walkout in the state legislature, blocking a new law that would put strict limits on when and where people can vote. But will their victory last? Backing out. One of the biggest stars in tennis stuns fans by pulling out of the French Open. Why she says she's walking away. And portraits of valor. A lone Marine armed with a paintbrush on a mission to honor those who've served so bravely.
This is the CBS Evening News with Nora O'Donnell, reporting from the nation's capital.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us on this Memorial Day. Nora is off. I'm Major Garrett. We begin tonight with Americans on the move as the country wraps up its first somewhat normal holiday since the start of the pandemic, one spent with friends and family and without fear and frustration. Now, as we come on the air tonight, tens of millions of people nationwide are heading back on the road or boarding flights home. This after a long weekend of sun and celebration. At the same time, across the country today, Americans pause to remember those who sacrificed on faraway battlefields for the cause of freedom. The president and vice president laid a wreath at the tomb of the unknown soldier at Arlington Cemetery. And in small towns and big cities, there were once again parades and ceremonies honoring the fallen. CBS's Meg Oliver is going to lead off our coverage tonight from a busy Newark Liberty International Airport. Meg, good evening.
Major, good evening. After more than a year of not going anywhere, millions of Americans are traveling again tonight. Although masks are still required inside airports, some are celebrating their first maskless holiday since the pandemic began.
Tonight, Americans are returning from the busiest holiday travel weekend since the pandemic began, with more than 37 million people taking to the skies and roads to see family and friends, up 60% from this time last year. Over the long weekend, more than 7 million have passed through the nation's airports, with long overdue reunions on full display.
It's been over a year since we've seen them.
It's been a long, long time.
As vaccinated Americans embark on their first maskless holiday, many families flew for the first time in more than a year. A nation reunited, honoring our fallen heroes. Families returning to familiar rituals as they remember the sacrifices of our soldiers. Sacrifices that unite us, as President Biden reminded Americans today.
We owe the honored dead a debt we can never fully repay. We owe them our whole souls. We owe them our full best efforts to perfect the union.
Words that resonate after a year of monumental loss. Once again, beaches were crowded and stadiums were full, with America's favorite pastime finally making a big comeback. Crowds were overflowing at this pool party in Houston, Texas. But the summer fun may be dampened by a chlorine shortage fueled by a record number of pools. And for those trying to beat the heat, movie theaters like AMC saw their busiest weekend since their reopening last August.
I'm ready to eat some popcorn.
Gas prices haven't deterred folks with places to go and people to see, even with prices topping $4 a gallon in California. Today's national gas price average is more than $3, up more than a dollar from this time last year.
It was a little nerve-wracking at first.
Back at Newark International Airport, travelers like Samantha Fumosa feel reinvigorated after returning from Florida.
And how does it feel to be traveling on Memorial Day?
It feels so great. I can't even tell you how great it feels. We had a girls' weekend, so it was much needed.
Over the weekend, American Airlines joined Southwest banning alcohol sales until September. This comes after a recent uptick in the number of violent incidents aboard flights that have injured employees. Major?
Reunited. It feels pretty good. Meg Oliver, thank you. Across Miami tonight, a manhunt for three masked gunmen who opened fire outside a concert, killing two people and wounding more than 20 others. Here is CBS's Manuel Bojorquez.
Tonight, newly released surveillance video shows three men wearing ski masks and hoodies jumping out of a white Nissan Pathfinder. In the roughly 11 seconds before they leaped back into the SUV, they'd unleashed a hail of gunfire using assault-style rifles and handguns, leaving two people dead and 21 injured.
We're gonna need as many rescues as you got.
These are acts of domestic terrorism.
The shooting happened outside a banquet hall in northwest Miami-Dade County as a rap concert was ending Sunday. Police say some in the crowd fired back. Evidence markers littered the pavement.
We have intelligence information that this resulted from an ongoing rivalry from two different groups.
Clayton Dillard, whose son was killed, could not contain his grief during a news conference.
You all killed my kid. You must burn.
That is the pain that affects our community right there, right before you.
Late this afternoon, police found the SUV, which was stolen, submerged in a nearby canal, but no sign of the shooters. So far this month, there have been at least 69 mass shootings in the U.S., six of those this Memorial Day weekend.
There is concern tonight the death toll from the shooting here could go up. As police said, several of the injured are in critical condition. There are also several rewards for information leading to the arrest and conviction of the shooters. They total $130,000. Major.
With the painful details, Manuel Bojorquez, thank you. Meantime, tonight, police say they thwarted a mass shooting, this time at a Walmart in Kerrville, Texas. Police arrested Coleman Blevins after intercepting a message that he was planning the attack. Officers found guns, ammunition, neo-Nazi flags, and writings in his home. Blevins was already on felony probation and banned from possessing firearms. Tonight, new evidence of America's progress in fighting coronavirus. Over the past week, new cases are averaging less than 20,000 per day. We haven't seen numbers like that since March of 2020. But there are also concerns about a new variant that's been found overseas. CBS's Nikki Batiste with more.
With more than 40% of the country fully vaccinated, Americans are revving up for post-pandemic life.
The soul is back at the speedway. The fans are back in the stands.
The Indy 500 became the largest sporting event since the pandemic began, with 135,000 fans in the stands on Sunday. But as America starts to return to normal, there are reminders the pandemic isn't over. Vietnam's health ministry says it's detected a new variant that appears to be a hybrid of the India and UK mutations.
It's more infectious and divides more rapidly. I think all of the data point to the fact that it will be susceptible to the vaccines, which is very, very positive.
Meanwhile, summer camps are preparing to reopen, and the CDC has issued new guidance. Everyone can be mask-free outside in most cases, but those who haven't been vaccinated still need to mask up indoors. Last summer, 5-year-old Brody Nayrod stayed home.
Did you miss seeing your friends?
Yeah.
But now, Brody's mother is ready to send him back.
No concerns?
Honestly, no. He's super excited to be coming back to camp. I mean, he says, when is camp coming? When is camp coming? I said, soon, soon, soon.
Mark Transport, co-owner of Crestwood Country Day Camp in New York, says nearly 1,000 campers have already signed up.
What do you say to parents who are still just too worried about the risks?
You need to worry about the mental health of kids, the ability to get back to socializing, to feel like kids again, to feel free.
The CDC says unvaccinated kids do not need to wear a mask outside at camp unless they're in a crowd or participating in a close contact activity. Meanwhile, here in New York, the governor says the statewide positivity rate is at a record low. Major?
With the good news tonight, Nikki Batiste. Thank you. In Texas, the political fight over new voting restrictions took a dramatic and unexpected turn overnight. Democrats made a last-ditch effort to block passage of a new law by walking out. We get more from CBS's Christina Ruffini.
Top Texas Republicans are threatening retribution for Democratic lawmakers who walked out of the House chamber overnight blocking new voting restrictions.
This is just nothing but propaganda by the left and by the President of the United States saying that Senate Bill 7 is about voter suppression. No, it's not.
Democrats say the bill, one of the strictest in the country, specifically targets minority communities and growing Democratic strongholds. The legislation would ban drive-through and 24-hour voting, make sending unsolicited absentee ballots illegal, add new ID requirements for those ballots, and limits polling hours, including early voting on Sundays, which was popular with African-American church groups. Restrictive voting laws have already been approved in Georgia and Florida. 48 states are considering similar measures. Supporters of the Texas measure say it's necessary to restore voter confidence after unfounded allegations of vote tampering in the 2020 election, even though Donald Trump won Texas. Democrats walked out just before a midnight deadline, denying Republicans the quorum needed to hold the vote.
He killed that bill. Yeah!
In a tweet, Texas Governor Greg Abbott said he would veto the part of the state budget that pays lawmakers' salaries. No pay for those who abandon their responsibilities. The governor says he will call lawmakers back for a vote in a special session. Democrats are fundraising off last night's success and weighing their next move. Christina Ruffini, CBS News, Washington.
Tonight, the search continues for the bodies of seven people who were aboard a small jet that crashed into a Tennessee lake over the weekend. Among those missing and presumed dead, actor Joe Laura, who played Tarzan in a 1990s TV series, and his wife, diet guru Gwen Shamblin Laura. The cause of this crash is not known. In a stunning move tonight, Japanese tennis star Naomi Osaka, the number two ranked woman in the world, has withdrawn from the French Open to focus on her mental health. Here is CBS's Jamie Yuccas.
Naomi Osaka.
Four-time Grand Slam winner Naomi Osaka stuns the world of tennis, dropping out of the French Open before her second round match, and then revealing on social media she suffers from depression, saying in part she was withdrawing to not be a distraction. That, quote, the truth is that I have suffered long bouts of depression since the U.S. Open in 2018, and I have had a really hard time coping with that. Here's Osaka after a match 3 years ago.
I just woke up and I was really depressed, but I don't know why.
Last week she announced she wouldn't participate in press conferences because the experience harms the mental health of players. Officials fined her $15,000 and threatened to expel the world's highest paid female athlete if she continued to not speak to the media. Many believe press is vital to the game.
She has to understand that when she bought into this whole idea of playing professional tennis, part of that is to agree to do these interviews to make the sport more vibrant, to get the word out.
The French Tennis Federation said it was sorry and sad about Naomi withdrawing. And today Osaka wrote, I'm going to take some time away from the court now, but when the time is right, I really want to work with the tour to discuss ways we can make things better for the players, press, and fans. Jamie Yuccas, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Services were held today in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to remember one of the most shameful and deadly racist massacres in this nation's history. While it began on this date 100 years ago, for many, it's still not over. CBS's Omar Villafranca reports from Tulsa.
It is appropriate on May 31st. That happens to be the National Memorial Day.
Today, a century after the Tulsa race massacre, the community is still trying to heal.
The two-day rampage by a white mob killed an estimated 300 black Tulsa residents and turned more than 30 square blocks of homes and businesses in the Greenwood District, known as Black Wall Street, into rubble.
Treading a path through the slums.
This solemn ceremony honored those who were killed, with some of the last known survivors in attendance.
But these unknown names are likewise battlers for freedom and democracy in this land.
These statues are from a picture.
Tulsa resident Kevin Ross says for years, the race massacre wasn't even acknowledged by the white community or taught in schools. But now, the city is reckoning with its past.
I am just overjoyed that the discussions have begun, that the silence, the conspiracy of silence has ended. Let the healing begin.
In 2018, the city of Tulsa started searching for those mass graves. And soon, it'll start digging in an area where those killed may be buried.
If there are remains from the race massacre there, is the city ready for that?
I must say that the city of Tulsa, I believe, is ready.
Tomorrow, the city will start digging in an area where the bodies could be buried. President Biden will also be in town tomorrow to pay his respects. Major?
The discussions have indeed begun. Omar Villafranca in Tulsa. Thank you.
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. The time is now more than ever to embrace the breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that can enthrall you, especially with brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped, like Amy Tintera's Listen for the Lie. With exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors, captivating sound design, and dynamic performances, Audible brings these stories to life like never before. And as a member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
Tonight in Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu's hold on power appears to be slipping. Several political parties are reportedly trying to work out a deal for a coalition government that would leave Netanyahu out. He is Israel's longest-running prime minister, having held the post since 2009. Today, China's Communist Party announced a big change in its family policy. Couples will now be allowed to have three children instead of two. China may also raise its retirement age. The reason's pretty simple. China's population is aging, and its birth rate has fallen dramatically, creating a shortage of young workers. Graduates of Wilberforce University in Ohio received, along with their diplomas, a huge surprise.
The Wilberforce University Board of Trustees has authorized me to forgive any debt.
America's oldest private, historically black university canceled all student loan debt and fines for the classes of 2020 and 2021. As America honors those who've laid down their lives, CBS's David Martin shares the story of a Marine who wanted to make sure, really sure, those sacrifices are never forgotten.
Charles Waterhouse dedicated much of his life to the Marines, first as a grunt on Iwo Jima in World War II, and then as, get this, the Corps' artist in residence.
This is one I really had a good time on because it was of a personal friend. His name was Mitchell Page, and he won his Medal of Honor on Guadalcanal. He was one tough Marine.
In his 80s and in failing health, Waterhouse set out on his final mission, paint every Marine who received the Medal of Honor, some 450, according to his daughter, Jane.
And we all knew it was a quixotic mission.
What do you think was driving him?
I know exactly. Why did I survive when so many brave people around me didn't?
The paintings are a perfect metaphor for her father's own battle.
It's all a moment of the struggle between life and death. And that's where he was, a man who was struggling with life and death to get this done.
Waterhouse died at age 89, having completed 220 paintings.
All the paintings were around him. He died with his men. He really did.
Jane Waterhouse has published them, complete with a description of each battle.
Every time I wrote a story about one, that I felt like I was lighting a candle for them.
Her personal favorite is Captain William Hawkins, leading his men ashore at Tarawa.
That's him at the front, and he was in the front for days afterward.
Until a Japanese sniper laid him in his grave.
And they carried him off the field with his men openly weeping. And as he was dying, surrounded by his Marines, he said, "I'm sorry to leave you like this, boys."
Now the Hawk lives again, thanks to Charles Waterhouse and his final mission. David Martin, CBS News, Quantico, Virginia.
Lighting a candle about the struggle. From every corner of the country today at 3 p.m., Americans took a moment to play a song. It was all to honor our fallen service members, part of our Taps Across America program. Tomorrow, CBS's Steve Hartman will be on the road to show you what we heard. If you can't watch live, don't forget to set your DVR so you can watch us later. And that's tonight's edition of the CBS Evening News. I'm Major Garrett. Nora's back tomorrow. Good night.
Are you ready for an all-new season of Survivor? You better be, because Survivor 46 is here, and it's 90 minutes of twists and turns you don't want to miss. Better yet, after each episode, there's a brand new episode of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we go behind the scenes of the episode's biggest moments, taking you into the how and the why things happened. And this season, we're very lucky to be joined by an expert, the winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares.
What is up? I'm thrilled to be joining this team and to be giving you my take on how and the why players made the moves they did, what it takes to outwit, outplay, and outlast, and to ask Jeff some questions, because even after 26 days out there, there is still a lot for me to uncover.
Bring it, D. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.